Hello, my name is Tori Whitaker Martinez, and I'm the lead editor for Infection Control Today. And today we have Daniel Rankin, who is an epidemiologist with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And we will be discussing NDMCRE and her study about it and everything that goes along with that. So thank you, Daniel, and welcome to Infection Control Today.
Thank you, Tori, for having me today.
You're welcome. So my very first question is the basics. What is NDMCRE and how does it spread?
So NDM is a type of carbapenemase, which is an enzyme that can inactivate carbapenems and other beta-lactam antibiotics. Carbapenemases like NDM can share their genetic code for carbapenemases with other bacteria, even if they were previously susceptible, rapidly spreading their resistance. CPCRE typically spreads through direct or indirect contact, and specifically in healthcare settings, this is usually person to person through hand carriage of healthcare personnel on contaminated medical equipment such as portable X-ray machines. And we've even seen some environmental sources such as sink drains and toilets that can become important reservoirs for contributing towards CRE transmission. And so, for these reasons, CDC has really targeted CRE, particularly those producing carbapenemases, for urgent public health action.
So where did the idea for the study originate?
Yeah, so our team actually regularly monitors clinical isolates of CPCRE using the Antimicrobial Resistance Laboratory Network data. And through this, we recognized that NDM was actually increasing. So we wanted to develop an approach for a robust and timely assessment of trends among the different CRE carbapenemases. So we developed a cohort of 29 states with a requirement to submit all CRE isolates to their state public health laboratory for carbapenemase testing. And so this further allowed us to really systematically analyze trends among these organisms.
So, with NDMCRE incidence increasing by more than 460%, how should hospitals adapt empiric therapy guidelines when access to Aztreonam avibactam and cefiderocol susceptibility testing remains limited? And I think I messed those up. So, can you correct me on those, please?
Yep, it's Aztreonam avibactam and then cefiderocol. Like you said, given the limited number of treatment options for some CPCRE infections, it's really important for facilities to consider how they will approach their treatment decisions. There's really likely not a one-size-fits-all approach to this issue, as factors such as the local prevalence of these bacteria really influence the decision. So, in light of the shifting epidemiology, facilities should really have discussions between their clinicians, their microbiology labs, and pharmacists, and even local and state public health officials and any other impacted groups to really establish a local plan for them.
Given that carbapenemase testing is not really routinely available in many clinical labs, what role should public health laboratories and national networks play in bridging this gap? And how do we ensure results arrive in time to impact patient care?
Yeah, great question, Tori. So CDC Antimicrobial Resistance Laboratory Network offers this critical testing to help close the gap between local laboratory capabilities and the information that's needed to guide patient care through providing this carbapenemase testing on clinical isolates. But you mentioned time, which is actually a really important consideration for healthcare facilities to keep in mind. To significantly influence patient therapy decisions, it's really important that carbapenemase mechanism testing is conducted swiftly and ideally as close to the patient as possible. And so we've actually seen clinical laboratories that perform in-house testing for carbapenemase genes have a marked advantage with an average turnaround time that's around 6 days faster than the test results that are tested at the public health laboratories. So, really, by enhancing local testing capabilities, we can improve timeliness of results and facilitate more effective and targeted patient care in the face of multi-drug resistant organisms.
So the study highlights the rise of OXA48, like CRE, alongside NDM. How can infection preventionists prepare for a more polycarbapenemase landscape when multiple mechanisms may coexist within facilities?
Yeah, so it's actually really important that they understand what testing is offered by their clinical laboratory and then by their state public health laboratory for both CRE isolates and colonization screening. It's really important that they, infection preventionists and epidemiologists know their local epidemiology to understand how common or uncommon certain mechanisms are. So, we recommend that working with your laboratory and infectious disease physicians to understand and share information. And facilities could also consider adding mechanism testing capacity within their own facility. And from an infection control standpoint, it's important to remain vigilant for single cases and potential outbreaks because carbapenemases can move between different bacteria. So it's really important for infection preventionists to be suspicious if they're seeing a rise in a single mechanism, even if it's being identified across different organisms. So, for example, if they're seeing a rise in OXA48, but they're seeing it in both E. coli and Klebsiella pneumoniae, that's still something to be suspicious of. It's important that they are prepared to respond by developing a plan that addresses questions like, if cases are identified, what will my facility do? Who will be the one responsible for infection control practices of directly observing these on the affected units? It's also important that they look into who would actually perform screening and whether they would need any help from their healthcare-associated infections or antimicrobial resistance programs at their state health department or their public health laboratory. And if they do need this type of help, what kind of help is it?
Since KPC-CRE has historically dominated in the US, but it is now plateauing while NDM rises, what are the implications for outbreak response strategies that were previously designed with KPC in mind?
A great question. So these strategies, really were developed generally for non-KPC carbapenemases, as well as areas where KPC was more uncommon, and really relied on responding to single cases of CPCRE. And so as we've started to see these organisms become more common, it's really no longer feasible to respond to individual cases in many areas. So this means that we need to improve our timely outbreak detection. We've been trying to do that here at CDC. We've been piloting several different approaches for this, including whole genome sequencing-based cluster detection strategies. And really, to prevent outbreaks of CPCRE, facilities should screen high-risk patients, including those who have a history of hospitalization outside the United States, and continue to monitor adherence to hand hygiene, personal protective equipment use, environmental cleaning and disinfection, along with sink hygiene.
So is it bioburden that we need to worry about in the sink? I'm assuming.
So, yes, exactly. So the sink essentially can create in the plumbing system what we call biofilm or bioburden. And that's where the genes will, within that bioburden, can transfer their resistance to those susceptible bacteria. And so, to paint a picture in your head, if we have this as an environmental reservoir and a faucet is directly over a sink drain, it can essentially splash into that sink drain and then onto any items that are around the sink. And so then you can have, horizontal transmission from those items to the patient from the countertops.
If an IP has an NDM CRE case in their facility, are there any infection control considerations that they should keep in mind?
Yeah, so sh should an NDM CRE case be identified in a healthcare facility, it's really important that IPs work with their state and local healthcare-associated infections and antimicrobial resistance programs to prevent spread. It's important that they place those patients, if they're hospitalized in acute care or long-term acute care and who are colonized with CPCRE on isolation or contact precautions, and if they're in a long-term care facility and they're a resident of those, that they're placed on enhanced barrier precautions. It's also important and always a good reminder that if you do have this type of case in your facility, to really reinforce the importance of hand hygiene with healthcare providers that are providing patient care and just reminding them that they should be cleaning their hands immediately before touching a patient, before performing an aseptic task, such as placing an indwelling device, before moving from work on a soiled body site to a clean body site on the same patient, after touching a patient's immediate environment, after coming in contact with any patient bodily fluids or contaminated surfaces, and of course, after glove removal. It's also important that they reinforce the importance of cleaning and disinfecting in patient and resident rooms. So, ensuring that high touch surfaces like bed rails and light switches and call buttons are cleaned frequently. Ensuring that shared medical equipment like portable X-ray machines are cleaned and disinfected between each patient. And then, as we talked about with sink hygiene, ensuring that countertops and handles and faucets and sink basins are cleaned and disinfected at least daily, and ensuring that there's no patient care items that are at least, within the 3 foot radius of the sink, toilets and hoppers. And you also want to make sure that staff are not pouring patient waste down sink drains, and also that there's no beverages or other sources of nutrients being poured down those sink drains. So ultimately, the control of these organisms in healthcare settings really depends on the implementation of good infection control practices for all patients and residents in healthcare settings. And we do have a lot of Project Firstline materials and resources that are available for free on our website. So if IPs are looking for some interactive videos or training materials, they can always go to these resources as well.
Thank you for that. Is hand washing with soap and water required, or does alcohol, hand rub work as well?
So both, we actually have seen that compliance to hand hygiene increases when using alcohol-based hand sanitizer. So hand sanitizer should be used and can be used in all instances, except if a provider's hands are contaminated from blood or bodily fluids, right? Then they would need to actually perform hand washing. So both can be used, but there are instances in where hand washing would need to be used over alcohol-based hand sanitizer.
With incidents rising across multiple states and patient populations, should CRE mechanism-specific surveillance be incorporated into mandatory reporting requirements? And if so, how can resource-limited facilities realistically comply?
So, the primary need is to really obtain prompt mechanism testing for CRE so this information can be used for treatment selection. So, while public health laboratories do play an important role in providing testing, testing at the clinical lab is timelier for patient care. We need to identify better ways to increase testing at clinical labs and ensuring that these findings are shared with public health to understand how changing epidemiology of CRE. But one of the largest challenges for clinical laboratories related to mechanism testing is likely reimbursement. So, this testing can be reimbursed by insurance as medically necessary, but that reimbursement is currently not guaranteed. So, addressing this and some other gaps to increase the number of laboratories bringing on this testing while continuing to use public health laboratory testing to address these gaps is important for patient safety. Ensuring that mechanism testing results when performed at a clinical lab are shared with public health so we can continue to perform timely surveillance of CRE, especially since we've seen the epidemiology can change rapidly and have implications for patient treatment.
So your entire study has been so eye-opening. What are the key takeaways for infection preventionists and epidemiologists that you want them to know?
I think it's important to understand that historically, we've not seen these increases in NDM. Historically, the most common carbapenemase called Klebsiella pneumoniae carbapenemase, otherwise known as KPC CRE, was what predominated in the United States. And increases of NDM CRE had only been reported globally. So now we're seeing this surge of NDM CRE in the United States, which really threatened to reverse years of stable or declining CRE rates. And so, what's important to understand is that most approved drugs used to treat CPCRE infections target specifically KPC. So, today, only two beta-lactam drugs are available and effective against NDM CRE. So, antibiotic selection for serious CRE infections should really account for the type of carbapenemase that is present. And IPs and hospital epidemiologists should ensure that mechanism testing is integrated into their laboratory workflows as recommended by the Clinical and Laboratory Standards Institute, otherwise known as CLSI, to help ensure that patients receive timely, appropriate therapy and that they're able to implement infection control interventions in a timely manner as well. If there is not testing available at their clinical lab, the CDC AR Lab Network, we do provide carbapenemase testing free of charge. The IPs should be aware of this as a resource, and also, if they are interested, contact their local public health laboratory or their healthcare-associated infections or antimicrobial resistance program to access this testing.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Rankin, for joining me today. It's been such a pleasure, and I've enjoyed really listening about this study. I've heard people out on the street talking about it, so it's nice to hear it straight from you.
Well, thank you so much, Tori, for having me today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.